need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see.
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Boy, you know, things are changing here a little bit. It's Pass the Salt here at the queue, Coach Dave Live, whatever you want to call it. Man, you don't get in early. You don't get into the queue anymore. We got people lining up and pounding on each other. I came up here myself, got up here a little bit late. I think maybe there was one slot left for the host to jump in here. I look on here. We got a full deck. Some of our favorites. I call them favorites because they're here all the time. Some of them are in, but some aren't. And some of the folks, I got some new names down in here today. It's an encouragement to me. God bless all of us. And I come to you with kind of a heavy heart today because today is a celebration, a day, the real day that would live in infamy, the real one day that would live in infamy. And that's 45 years ago today, the Supreme Court ruled that human babies aren't human, that they are in fact blobs of tissue, and that a woman has a right to do whatever she wants to with her body, even though it's not her body. And I want to, you know, a lot of you like it that I'm cynical. A lot of people don't like it that I'm cynical, but that's a universe that I tend to fly in, the universe of cynicism. And I just, it grieves my heart. I used to go to the March for Life. I use this term religiously. But I did. I used to go religiously and take people and, it was just important to go there. And, you know, the last time I went, I took two busloads full of people all the way from Ohio. We drove all the way out there. And, then when you get there, you know, the crowd is so big, it's 750,000 people. And you can't even imagine. You can't see. You're just standing in a spot and there are just people all around. You can't see anything. They got jumbotrons. You're supposed to be able to hear people speak and all that kind of stuff. And then they give you this nonsensical talk. And I told you I'm Joe Blow. I'm representative from Ohio and I'm pro-life. And everybody cheers. And the next Joe Blow gets up there and does it. And it goes on for about an hour. And then we march. And then we march. We end up. We go down. We march from, it's supposed to be right at the supposed to be right at the Lincoln Memorial. I don't even know where they get it now. And then they close down Constitution Avenue, and everybody marches down about a couple miles, I think, and this wave of people. And then they have another little ceremony there, and everybody goes home. But I've become cynical over the years, and I've found that the March for Life really is, it's not. Can I just tell you the truth? And I'm not trying to besmirch anybody. God bless everybody who goes out and tries to end abortion. God bless all of you and your hearts. I'm not making fun of it. Okay, please. Please don't understand that. I'm not. Thank God you're hitting the streets. Thank God. But really, I come to realize that the March for Life has become nothing more than just really a celebration. It's been another year of killing babies. And here we are still 45. Think about that. 45 years later. And all we're doing is marching. We're still marching 45 years later. And I hear people say, well, I'm encouraged by it, Coach, because there are so many young people there. Well, yeah, there are young people there because all the Catholic schools give their kids a field day, get a day off school, and they bus them, all, especially the ones locally. They're around the Maryland area. They bus them in. All the Catholic schools come in, and they do their duty, and they're pro-life. But I'm going to tell you, sadly, many of the people who are marching in the pro-life march, many of those children are probably going to have an abortion when they go to college, and we let college destroy them, and they get to have a out of wedlock pregnancy. Many of them will turn to abortion. And my frustration arises from the fact that all we do is march. That's all we do is march.
Hey, Coach.
750,000 people in Washington D.C. And what's left of? Well, we came, we saw, we marched, and we'll see you next year. See you next year. We're pro-life. See you next year. I'm not making fun of you who went. Scripture says that where there is no vision, the people perish. Unless somebody changes the vision of the March for Life, we're going to get what we've always got, 45 years of continuous baby slaughter, a new Republican administration, and still funding Planned Parenthood. Hey, guys, we're not winning. We're not winning, okay? We got to try something else. Yeah, Vince.
I was going to say that, listen, what the reason that that has gone on is because we've allowed the sanctity of life to be cheapened.
That's right. It's become a slogan, first of all, Vince. It's become a slogan. I'm pro-life, whatever that means. See, people, crazy as this sounds, women on the other side, women who are marching for women's rights, they'll tell you they're pro-life. They're just pro the woman's life, see? And so we have got to be careful that we find ourselves, I call them platitudes, we find ourselves repeating these meaningless, nameless, stupid slogans that we think have carry punch, and they don't. I'm pro-life. Well, so are the pro-abortionists. They just choose life for the mother over the life of the baby. It's all semantics. It's all semantics. And I'm
hey,
curious.
Coach?
Yeah, Dale.
And the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over
doing
and expecting a different result.
Different result. That's right. Now, see, Dale Silsha can say that because I know how he actively fights. He, as a pastor, fights the preborn slaughter. He doesn't just stand in his pulpit. He's actively out on the streets doing it. But for the most of us, it's just a, listen. Hey, Dale, would our reaction be the same if somebody, if they told you, if your wife told you, Dale, that she was going to take your precious little Abigail, and she's going to take little Abigail downtown, and it's going to have Abigail killed. Would your reaction be the same right now?
Brother, I mean, that's such a far-fetched even concept to even think that
would
never
happen. Brother. There would be some war, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there would have been a death before that ever happened.
Right. So in our minds, we got to understand this, that as the enemy looks at us, as see, I used to, when I coached football, I used to scout myself, go back and watch our own game films and get our tendencies and all. I scouted ourselves because I thought, I wonder if people can figure out what we're doing. You know, the other side scouts us and they know exactly, you know that they're laughing at, they laugh at us. They laugh at us. Would the Republicans ever close down the government for an unborn baby's right to live? Would they ever close it down for that? No, of course they wouldn't.
Absolutely not.
And why would they not do that? They wouldn't do it because it doesn't matter to us. We just march. We just march. We don't demand anything. We just march. Then I looked around today. I got someplace I'm going. Bear with me. I just got to get this off my chest here a little bit. Locally here in Licking County, Ohio, we had women's marches locally. 100 women gathered in downtown. What is this all about? You know what I'm going to do? Here's what I think I ought to do. Hey, Dale. Hey, you guys out there. Tell me if we should do this. Maybe I need something else to market. I was thinking about getting, rather than women's vagina hats, how about if we got men's dongs hats? You know what I'm talking about? Let's get men's hats. You seen those court jester hats? You know, they got those things on. Let's get men's hats and get a big dong. And have a big dong hang down. And let's have a march. Would they let us do that? A march for men's rights and have a big dong hanging down at the top of our head. Would everybody think that would be cool?
Brother, you're the big stick. You're the big stick in the gumbo, brother. You're stirring the pot again.
I'd be walking softly and carrying a big stick if you know what I'm talking about, Dale. And so we see people who are, they're doing that here locally. And there's that. And no pushback about it. Michelle said to me this morning, I didn't know that was going on. I said, honey, not only don't you know that was going on, there were some people that you know who go to church who were there. Who were there wearing these hats? Oh, Lord.
You know, what gets me is this Planned Parenthood thing is not new. In 1921, it was called the American Birth Control League. And in 1921, when Margaret Sanger started it, people knew that her writing said that she was doing it to keep the blacks from reproducing. Then in 1942, they changed their name to Planned Parenthood. Mm-hmm. And then in 1973, Planned Parenthood got almost exclusive rights on murdering babies through the court system. And every stage of the way, people knew what their underlying objective was, and people didn't care. And 45 years later, from 1973, they still don't care. And until the church does something, 45 years later, they still don't care.
Boys and girls, until there's something that happens at the end of the march. You get me? I don't know about you, but when my football team was on what they called a march, they're driving, they're on a march, they're marching down the field. We didn't get down to the 2-yard line and take a knee and go home. We pounded the ball into the end zone. The purpose of the march is to get to where you're supposed to do something. That's what's in my heart, see? And so because of it, we have cheapened life. We have cheapened. It doesn't really matter to us. 45 years ago. Okay, I don't want to get caught up on it. I got too much stuff I want to talk about. I got a plan. I'm working on a plan. I'm going to be talking to somebody about the plan that I have, because I'm a man of action, and I believe Action Jackson is what matters, and we're going to go do it. Let me throw a couple things at you. First of all, before I forget, I'm going to try to do this in order. Jared, pull up. It says that the Sons of Liberty. I think you already have that up there. Listen, I'm honored today, this afternoon at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Let me flip back over here. Hey, Jared, I got to find Jared. There he is. I'm going to host a national radio program for Bradley Dean. I don't know if you guys know who Bradley Dean is. As big as a house. He's about 6'6", 6'7", big guy, big, just a big teddy bear. Love the guy to death. And he has a radio show called The Sons of Liberty that's heard on 81 radio stations across America, radio, 81 affiliates. Jared, scroll down here a minute. I think it lists the affiliates down there. Let me see if it doesn't. While Jared's scrolling down there, there's affiliates. Talks how to become an affiliate. Keep on going down. Bradley's asked me to sit in for him this afternoon, today and tomorrow as well. And what our plan would be today, I'm going to sit in not only am I going to sit in, I'm going to introduce, here we go. There's Alabama, the stations in Alabama. Just keep scrolling those down, Jared, as I talk. There's some in Arkansas. I'm going to introduce David Arthur to the world and try to take on this lie of SJQs, all those deviant sexes. We're going to try to take that on. And then tomorrow, if things work out, we're going to introduce Mark Trump and artificial intelligence and all that stuff that's going on these 81 radio stations all across America. You can certainly hear it live as well. But I'm just trying to make all of you aware, because Bradley said specifically, hey, Coach, would you let your audience know that you're doing it? Because he's trying to build an audience, right? And he is a frontline fighter, man. He's one of us. He's out of Minnesota. There it is. And so he 81 different radio stations. And so we are going to be on there, David Arthur and I today, and hopefully Mark Trump and I tomorrow, 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, live. I'm just showing you the stations it's on. You can find it at Sons of Liberty. You can just go to Sons of Liberty, a radio. I think that's where it is. And you can listen to it online if you want to. Guys, listen, you don't have to come and listen to me. Okay, you don't have to come. But you understand that cross-pollination is an important thing here. And I feel personal desire to try to get David Arthur's story out a little bit more for that, and of course, Mark and everything. So that's going on today, okay? That's Sons of Liberty Radio, and it's live at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time today, 3 to 4, and it'll be archived later. Maybe you can check in on that thing and share that out there as well. Okay, then the next thing is I want to talk a little bit about this weekend. I was hoping Chad was going to be able to get in here with us. I don't think he made it. Jared, if you go to the stuff, Chad, the Salt, we had a Salt and Light Brigade meeting in, where was I? Noblesville, Indiana. Matt Tice rode with Matt and I had a great time. Matt drove down from Finley and we rode over together, and I appreciate Matt doing that. And we had Rich Wallace over there tried to get, you know, trying to build a downline there, putting a flag in the ground in Noblesville, Indiana. And I think we ended up, my numbers were good. We had 10, 11, maybe 12 people that came. We just did a little 2-hour presentation of meet and greet and shake hands and try to people tell people why it's important that we all get together. And I often tell everyone, I never count the numbers when I go. I'll come wherever you are. We need you to try to build a downline. I'm going to talk I'll talk more about that later. Guys, listen, we got to get organized. I'm willing to help build that. I will pay my own way. I will help rent the facility. I'll do whatever to come and try to help you put together an event. Now, when we went to Noblesville, when I left home, Michelle said, well, good luck, honey. I love you, honey. Hope people come, because that's really all, you know. How many are going to come, coach? I don't know. It might be not, maybe nobody, and it might be 50. I don't have any idea. But I'm going to go. I know Rich is going to be there, and I know that, you know, he's got a group there. They're going to try to do it. So we went, we did it, and some new faces showed up. And so now out of that, we're going to try to continue to build that Salt and Light Brigade out there. And God, come on, let's do more of this stuff. Time is really wasteful, man. It really is. Perilous times we live in. And then Chad Estes, that's why I was hoping Chad would be with us. Jared, I don't know if I told you, Paul, but I got a video there, Jared. I think it says Chad on it. And Chad had another hangout at his house, a Texas Salt and Light Brigade. Now, remember this. Chad Estes' Texas Salt and Light Brigade began with, when I flew down there, first of all, we adhere the Watchman Conference. We got the name of 71 people, men, who were in that Temple, Texas area. We called all of them and said, hey, we're going to have an event. Please come. We rented a facility. I flew down there. Rusty Thomas came over. Have this event. All these people come on and come. And Chad was on the front with his wife. And that's it. Chad Estes, the guy who hosted it, organized it. Me from Ohio and Rusty Thomas from Waco, Texas, to present to everybody. And nobody came. And on the way out the door, we were locking the door and going out, and the car pulls up, and it was Glenn and Corinne. And Glenn said, hey, golly, sorry I got caught in traffic. I sure wanted to be here, yada, yada. And we took them over to Whataburger, someplace like that, and talked to them and explained what was going on. And now here we are. Chad could probably, if he had to, he's not here with us. If Chad were to call a meeting right now, he could probably pull 100 people together. And listen, that started from nobody. Nobody. But Chad's worked it hard, and it matters to him. And so now he's networking, fellowshipping with, bringing together like-minded people. Do I have it in my hat? I don't have it. I had a lady come up to us in Noblesville, Indiana, that just thought she'd searching her whole life to find like-minded people. Finally found something. That's what we're trying to do. So I want to play this short little 4-minute video of what took place at Chad's house this weekend with our Texas Salt and Light Brigade. Go ahead and play that, Jared. Old Chad, he's kind of corny. Hey, Coach. Some of the stuff he does.
We just concluded our Greater Texas Salt and Light Brigade meeting, our fourth one. In some videos here, you'll see some activities that we were doing during the course of the weekend, and also you're going to hear some testimonies from persons. So stay tuned and enjoy. Thanks.
It was like Christmas time. Thanksgiving come around.
Right.
And him and his wife were needy. You know, they don't make a lot of money. I think his wife does something, but they don't have a lot of money. So first time I ever cooked the turkey and stuff at home, and I just prepared them a meal and took it up there. And it meant the world to me.
Hey, Coach, my name is Matt Holland. I'm from Muscle Shoals, Alabama. Just come down, rode with Ray to the Texas Salt and Light Brigade meeting. Just having the opportunity to meet with other like-minded individuals and discuss current events. It's a good thing we got going on here. Being able to move forward and with prayer and knowing what we've got going on and just taking care of business, more or less, and trying to advance the kingdom. So I'm just glad to be here. and doing what I can do to pitch in. So
not get worked up over this, but where's my focus? And then you're drawn back like boom. You know what I'm saying? So I don't necessarily think that she's just bad.
But
right.
So once again, the priority.
Yeah,
reprioritize.
Mm-hmm. Had
to kind of change the order.
A
lesson of purpose and see what, you know.
Hi, my name is Todd, and I'm over here at Estes Ranch with Chad, my son Connor, and we're here to fellowship with Chad and the rest of the Texas Brigade down here. We're here to learn, to love others, and to fellowship. Fellowship with like-minded believers, and we just believe that the Lord is doing some great things down here. And we want to participate in his service.
I've had a lot of fun today. I've learned so much about the Lord, and I feel like I've really gotten closer to him today. I feel like it was a great experience.
Amen.
People are, you know, crying out to make it public, and that happens.
Hey, sir, so what's the story with QAnon? What's the story with QAnon?
Well, it's all, is it real or is it speculation?
Hello, Coach Dave. This is David Davis from Fort Worth, Texas. I'm down here at the Salt and Light Brigade at Brother Chad Estes' ranch down here in Moody, Texas. And I want to tell you that we've had a great time with the Lord together. I thank God for bringing me here because now I have other brothers and sisters that I can come to and talk to things about. I've had a great time here. I've been blessed greatly by those that are my brothers and sisters that are around here, and I've learned some things that I didn't know before. I want you to know that, yes, we are getting things together. Brother Chad has taught us a lot of things, and I just thank God for him.
Hey, Coach. This is Tony. I live in Temple, Texas, and I made my first meeting with Chad's group, and I'd encourage everybody to come out. It's a very learning experience for anybody that's interested in a Bible study and fellowship with fellow Christians. So give it a shot, everybody.
Okay, so there you are, man. That's what it is. And I don't know, 15, 20, I don't know how many people got together down there at Chad's. But these guys are building they're building a network, which is what I think is so critical for us to do. David, just tell us a little bit. David, it was good, huh, bud? Get to be around some good, like-minded guys. You're up, David.
Oh, yes. I had a great time. There's actually Saturday. Later, some other guy showed up, Sergey. I mean, many here know who Sergey probably
yeah,
is. Sergey.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Sergey was there, and I forget some of the names, and there was like two others that showed up too. And all in all, we had about, I'm not mistaken, we had about 24 people, 25 somewhere in there.
So it was good. There were some old ones and some new ones. Folks, we're trying to do this. We want to do it in your town. Give us a call, okay, or connect with us. I just heard from Chad. He said the queue's full. We can't get in. And so thank God. Thanks for doing it. See, why are you doing it? I've been pondering a lot. I've had a, you know, I've you guys know I was a little bit conflicted on Friday. I was a little conflicted. I've been a little bit conflicted all week. Actually, I went there over there on Saturday, and then I had a kind of a down day yesterday because I'm still not over my cold. My wife really isn't either. And so I had a lot of time by myself or with me, not by myself. I had a lot of time with me again yesterday. And I began to evaluate the game films again. Evaluate the game films of I said to Michelle and I said to Matt Tice, as I'm driving over to Indiana, I said, if I have to do this, I'm willing to do this, but if this is what it's going to take, Lord, it's going to take 50 years. If I got to drive someplace every weekend and this, Lord, it's going to take 50 years. And there's an urgency. I'm going to share this with all of you, and I'm not going to go into the depth of it because I don't care what you think about me, okay? It doesn't matter. I couldn't sleep. I was awakened like I've never been awakened on Friday night in my sleep.
Friday night into Saturday morning. I had to go to Indianapolis on Saturday morning. I was awakened like I've never been awakened, with a sense of urgency that I've never had. You know what the Lord? You know what the Lord said to me? You guys, I hope you appreciate this. I think it was from the Lord. It's easy from Him or something. You know, I'm hearing voices. I had a high school baseball. I had a baseball coach when I was 13 years old. That might have been 14. I was pretty good. I was a real good baseball player. Played a lot of different positions. And when I was 13 or 14, I was catching. I was a catcher. And we were playing in a game. And bases were loaded, and two outs, and it was like a one-run game or something like that. I can't remember what it was. And I'm catching, and I'm every time I throw the ball back to the pitcher, I notice that the guy on second base is he's every time the pitcher throws the ball, the guy he takes off. He's halfway down the line to third, and then he runs back to second base, trying to doing whatever. So I gave a signal to second baseman, so I'm going to pick that guy off. And so pitcher takes his stretch and throws the ball into me, and I catch it. And sure enough, that guy's halfway down the line. I got him dead to rights. I'm going to get him out at second base. The inning's over. We're out of the inning. And I threw that thing, man. I threw a dart to second base, and everything was great except one thing. The second baseman didn't get the signal, and the ball went out into center field. And not only did the guy on third score, but the guy on second scored, and the other guy ends up on – and I'll never forget. The coach walked out, and he stood out in front of the dugout, and he yelled at – he looked over at me specifically, and he yelled, "Yep! Yep! Million-dollar arm! And a 10-cent brain." I never forgot that. A million-dollar arm and a 10-cent brain. You know, Saturday morning, the Lord said that to me. Said that to me. Did you get a million-dollar gift? In a 10-cent plan. I began to reflect on it. Spoke to my wife about it the next day. Talked to Matt about it. And thought about it all last night. And the Lord has given me, I'm talking about me, so many gifts. Teaching gifts, exhortation gifts, the ability to see things others don't. I have a million-dollar gift. And my Bible says that some are gifted with one gift. Just read about the parable of the talents. Some are given one talent. Some are given two. Some are given three. Some are given four. And even guys who are really using their talents, the Lord goes and he says, go get that one guy. Take that one talent that he has. Take that and you go give it to that guy who's really using it. And I'm looking at my gift. Million-dollar gift, the Lord told me. And a 10-cent plan. And I've come to the conclusion in my own heart, I don't even know what to do with it. My million-dollar gift is not being used because I've not. How do I say this? The Lord has put around me on this show everything we need to impact the world. Everything right here. People that are watching this that we don't even know who they are. People who are watching from a distance who don't really want to get involved, who have a gift. If we are assembling ourselves together, even more as that day approaches, the Lord is and has already sent to us other million-dollar gifts. Somebody say amen if you understand what I'm saying. There's some of you sitting right out there that are the rib or the arm or the elbow or the knee or whatever that we need to really make this thing happen. And one of the things that's been holding us back is I've got the million-dollar gift, not the million-dollar gift, a million-dollar gift, and my plan's 10 cents. My plan's 10 cents. And the scripture says where there is no vision, the people perish. And someone said to me that if you look up the word perish, it doesn't mean die. Perish means it's the picture of a wild stallion. Imagine this. You ever seen my son's dog? I go every day, and my son's got a German Shepherd. And I go every day, and I let his dog out. And when I go and I put the key in the door and I open that door and I step inside that house, that German Shepherd starts running around in circles and back and forth and chasing his tail and jumping up and down like nobody's ever seen. The energy on that dog, so excited that I've come to take him out to do his run and do his business. You know what that is? There's no vision. That's what it means to perish. He just jumps up and down. He's all excited. And he runs here and he runs there and he goes there. He goes there and he jumps all over me. He's got a vision to get outside and go to the bathroom. But he doesn't know how to control it. Except now he's finally learning. And after I've tried to train him, I come and say, sit down, stop, sit. So now I come up, walk in the house. He runs around for a minute. I run over and get the leash. And he goes and sits in front of the door and looks right at me. Because why? He's not perishing anymore. He has the vision to go out and play, and he knows I'm the guy that's going to go do it. And I believe, that the Lord has brought around me, has brought to me, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. And I'm not trying to build my own ministry. I'm not trying to build my own thing. I'm simply trying to put a team together. And I have been convinced with my $1 million talent, my $1 million gift, my 10-cent plan is what's holding us back. Why? Because it's always been my coaching style to do this, to gather around me 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 coaches, cast the vision, say, here's how we're going to do it. Now, boys, let's go get it done. And I believe that my 10-cent plan is because I've not brought aboard those with the gifts to not only formulate the plan, but execute the plan. And I think that we are coming into a time this summer that will be the most critical time in our lifetime in regard to world events. I got a $1 million gift. And I believe the Lord has equipped me with this $1 million gift to do more than get in my car and drive to Indiana. Although I'll do it. I'm not complaining about it. We have guys who are watching us right now who are computer savvy. We have guys who are marketers. We have guys who are organizers. We have guys that can come along and do every aspect of this ministry that we need to have done to have world changing impact this summer. But I got a 10 cent plan. Am I making sense to anybody out there? You guys hear what I'm telling you right now? That if we are not, if we're not organized, and if we want to impact the world, then we better have an organization prepared to impact the world. And I'm telling you, we don't have it right now. It's my fault, maybe. Maybe I haven't made that clear. Maybe I've made you comfortable. Maybe I've made you happy enough just to be comfortable to watch in the morning and then just sit there and go about and live your life and come back in the morning, watch again next morning. And I'm telling you that if we do not take this, what we have, this $1 million gift, if we don't put a $1 million plan into place, then we are wasting our time. And I'm going to tell you this further. The other side's planning right now. They don't even have a $1 million gift. They just got a $1 million organization. They're just putting things together. And we ask ourselves, well, why can't we do that? Is it money problems? Well, have we tried to raise the money? No. Is it leadership problems? Have we tried to raise up leadership? No. Is it organizational problems? Well, have we tried to raise up any organization? No. Is it vision problems? Have we tried to cast a vision? No. Where there's no vision, we run around like my stinking dog, jumping up and down. Want to do this. I said, sit down. We're going for a walk. And he sits down. And that's the problem of the church. church is running around barking inside the building. Let me go out and do something. Bark, bark, bark. They're running around doing something. And here I sit.
Hey, Coach.
Just a second. I got to get this out of here.
Yep.
The Lord has given me the ability to move the heart of men.
Amen.
$1 million gift. My community, guys, I'm not bragging. I recognize it. My ability to communicate is God-given, Holy Ghost sent.
Amen, Coach.
And it's being hindered by this 10-cent plan that I have to execute it.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
I just want to validate that you heard that from the Lord. Because the only time I know I heard the Lord's voice out loud, he called me a dummy. That seems to be a pretty straightforward way of talking to people as his style.
Amen, brother. Amen. Jim Harrison said, I'm all dressed up and no place to go. Sitting around waiting for people to call me to come. Yeah, Roger.
I think one reason you were so successful as a coach is you had a structure of the week. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it was a structure that ended on Friday night. And you did very well working within that organization and structure of a high school football schedule.
Right.
And also got some people around you to do their job. And I think you're moving in the right direction if you'll take it this direction. But structure is not all bad. You were successful as a coach because in place before you got there was a structure that you had to work within.
That's right.
That's called games on Friday night. Here's what you do the other days. And I think you're moving in the right direction if you can continue that. Organization structure is okay. You know, there's some good that comes from that.
Hey, Coach.
Yes, Serge.
It just so happens that this weekend I sent an email to Sarge telling him that I'm ready to join up and I need help. And I'm waiting for him to get back to me. I want to start doing something here in Buffalo.
Well, Sarge, go ahead. Good for you, sir.
Coach, I want to encourage you. I've been doing a series out of the Book of Gideon. And, you know, that million-dollar plan, what the gifts that God has given you, which are irrevocable, you know,
amen,
God is not taking.
I said that to Michelle, too, man.
You know, prior to salvation, I mean, I look at Peter. Peter was a loudmouth and everything. But it wasn't until the Holy Spirit came upon Peter that it emboldened him to take the 10-cent idea, which is not our plan, nor is it our idea. I'm taking Gideon. Here's Gideon. And it was when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon that then God used Gideon. You look at Jesus himself. It wasn't until he was baptized in the Spirit that he did his first miracle. And so, brother, God takes your million-dollar talents, but when we incorporate that 10 cent, which we think is nothing, God always uses the crazy things that we think won't work, the plans of the Lord. You know, he told Gideon, what? Take clay cracked earthen vessels and put candles in it and go up against the Midianites. And when you get there, blow the trumpet and smash your clay vessels and you will prevail. What a 10 cent idea is that?
Right.
I'm telling you, Coach, God's taking your talent. Now he's incorporating him into it.
But Dale, amen. I agree that he impressed upon me the thing that made me successful as a coach is I surrounded myself with good people. Woody Hayes wrote a book, You Win With People. And what I have not done in this, it's time. Maybe up to this point it hasn't been time. It's time now to put some type of structure, greater structure, around the vision that it can go forth.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, something I got that was really powerful from Friday's show was I started looking into the imprecatory prayer. And somebody over the weekend, while I was trying to explain it to them, they said to me, but David, it was the love of the correctional officer that saved you. I said, no, it wasn't. Because although he planted a seed and he watered it every chance he got, it's not that that brought me to repentance. Because when I got out of prison, I went right back to my same ways, to doing the same disgusting, filthy, detestable acts. It was me being crushed, being brought to my demise, being brought to the bottom of my barrel that actually caused me to reach out for God in the first place. And so that's what I got from Friday's show, because that was the most powerful thing to me. And now I can explain to the people in more of a detailed way that, no, it wasn't that correctional officer's love that saved me. It was that love that planted a seed and that moved me, but it wasn't.
It eventually broke you. It eventually broke you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The stone that crushes them. Got to crush them before we lead them to Christ. Some people have to be crushed, right? Okay, so listen, bear with me a second. Bear with me. I wasn't going to share this, but I'm going to share this. Okay? Because this involves a lot of you out there right now, and I don't care whether right wing watch is laughing at me. I don't care. Boys, you better bone up and understand we're losing. Right now, we've kind of played what's going on kind of to a stalemate. But as I've been saying for the last week, what's the missing ingredient? Yeah, it's the church. The church is the missing ingredient. Now, I don't have dreams and visions. I don't. But I was awakened Friday night in the middle of the night, Saturday morning. I'm going to go to Indianapolis the next day. I shared this with my wife and I shared this with Matt Tyson. Now I'm going to share it with the rest of you. I'm driving in my dream. I'm driving my car. I'm on the way. I know specifically I'm going to Indianapolis. I know in my dream that's where I'm going. Go speak to this group. And we get into the outskirts of Indianapolis. And I'm in the dream now, vivid and real as can be. And I get to the outskirts of Indianapolis, and all of a sudden there's a traffic jam. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness, I'm going to be late. What's going on? The traffic's backed up. I'm sitting there in my car, and I'm mad in my dream. Vivid. And as I'm sitting there in my car, up along the median pulls up a police car. And he stops beside me, and I roll down my window. And I said to the policeman, what's going on? Is there a wreck? And the cop looked at me and says, no, there's no wreck. These people are coming to hear you. I said, what? He says, yes, they're coming to hear you. Get in here. And I jumped in the police car and they drove me down the median and up wherever it was. I said, we ended up in some place like a county fair. You guys, you know, have the county fair with a horse track in front of it. And there's people everywhere.
Not quite yet.
You know what it was? You know what the Lord is telling me? I don't know. I woke up. And you know what I know? There are millions dying to hear what I have to say. Millions. Not about me. It's about the message. The 68 million people that voted for Trump. They want to hear what I have to say. Not me. They want to hear what's coming out of me.
Hey, Coach.
And I got a 10-cent plan. Yes.
On Saturday, I was deep in prayer, and I only got two words, but I think it's confirmation for you, brother. The two words were, it's time.
It's time. Well, it's going to be time. Guys, do you have any idea? Where there's no vision, the people perish. Could we, if we had a plan, boy, I hope right-wing watch is watching now, could we spur a 10, 15, 20, 30 city event this summer, if we got our brains together in 30 different cities, have these events break out, whether it be at Planned Parenthood or at the congressman's office, a nationwide 30 city, 50 city assault on everything evil? Could we do that? Somebody tell me, why can't we do that? Why can't we do that? Remember Bill McCartney started Promise Keepers. Promise Keepers started, if you go back and read the story, Bill McCartney was riding down the road with a pastor friend of his, and the pastor said to him, if you could do anything you wanted to, Coach Mac, what would you do? And he said, I would like to get a ministry going to minister to men. That's what I would like to do. And that pastor took his vision, and Promise Keepers was birthed. You know what it's going to be like in America this summer as the midterm elections are getting going just around the corner, and the evil left is breaking loose right now, conniving to do everything they can do, and the church not doing anything. And here we sit with this $1 million gift, and it's going to be July 4th, and we won't have prepared to have done anything at all. Is anybody hearing me out there? Anybody hearing what I'm saying?
And I just heard in my spirit, if you are waiting for the, quote, church to wake up and join the battle, you'll be waiting until hell freezes over. You are the church. You must join the battle. And that was a word to me.
Larry, it was 68 million non-church people, I believe, that Hillary called deplorables. That stopped the flood. But now, where's the church? That's been the theme. So that's the theme. I get waking up. I'm having a dream. I'm driving down. There's a traffic jam. The cop stops me. Says they're waiting on you. What? They're waiting on you. So here's what I just want. I just kind of sharing this publicly because here's what it is. I'm going to call together a confab, for lack of a better. I don't even know what the term is. Boys, I want to get some assistant coaches around us, and we got to make some plans. We got to make some plans. We have to come up with a 1 month plan, a 3 month plan, 6 month plan. We are God's. Where's A team? And you think it's going to come from that, as Larry said, you think it's going to come from that building on the corner? You think it's going to come from that place that millions of people went to yesterday and didn't hear a damn thing about abortion on Right to Life weekend or whatever? You think so? No. We're the agitators. We're the provocateurs. We're the ones who are going to provoke them to love and to good works. We can do, when you say, Coach, you sure are arrogant. Well, I tell you, we can do what Martin Luther King Jr. did. We can do that. We can do what Bill McCartney did. We can do that, boys. If the Lord's heart is in it, if it's the heart of the Lord and the plans of the Lord, and if the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, we can do that. But do we have the vision to do that? Do we think that we could raise the money? Are there guys out there, if a vision was cast and a plan was put in place, are there millions of dollars that would come in to fund this? Of course there are. Of course. Some guys throw $1 million around like it ain't nothing. But are we making an appeal to it? Are we organized? Do we have a vision? Do we say, let's go? Are we doing that? No! 10-cent plan. $1 million gift. You know what the $1 million gift is? That! There's the $1 million gift! I'm just kind of bearing my soul to you today. I guess it's kind of a cry. Turn to Malachi. How much time we got here? 11 minutes. I said, I was sitting in my easy chair yesterday, hacking every 5 minutes yesterday, sitting in my easy chair. I'm in the agitator in the washing machine. That's what I thought I was sitting in a chair, but the Lord had me in the agitator. This is what's going on the whole time I'm sitting there all weekend. Agitating me. And I began to, I just continued to ask myself this very simple question. Why are you, us, children of Christ, all power given unto us? unto him, both in heaven and earth, go ye into all the world. Why are we, his church, his body, so stinking powerless? Why do our public schools teach everything against Christ and we pay for it? Why does our government have us in such a demonic grip and we do nothing about it? Why do our politicians rob us blind and we do nothing about it? Why is our money phony and we do nothing about it? Why do they change marriage, the God-ordained sacrament of marriage, and we do nothing about it? Why do they slaughter unborn babies and we do nothing about it? They fund Planned Parenthood to kill babies, to put the aborted baby parts in vaccines, to be used for all kinds of dastardly stuff, and we don't do anything about it. Does somebody have an answer? Why are marriages falling apart, and we don't do anything about it? Why are 50% of babies born outside of marriage, and we don't do anything about it? Why do people come across the border and make more money off the government than the average hardworking guy down the street, and we don't do anything about it?
Hey, Dave.
Because our vision is, we're going to get raptured out of here. Yeah, Matt. Turn to Malachi, Jared. Well, go ahead.
You know, I was thinking about this over the weekend, our conversation, and I got to tell you, what I started writing about this morning, you know, a long time ago, Satan managed to get the point through to everybody that we're not going to be talking about politics and religion. You don't go to family politics and religion. Right here at our bed and breakfast, we can't even talk about politics and religion because it makes everybody mad. Well, because of that, our morality has gone to pot. Every one of us needs to do, especially the people on this show, when you meet somebody and you have the opportunity to bring up with politics and religion, push it. Talk about how Christians must begin to talk about politics and religion. It's the only way, as far as I'm concerned, that we're going to bring morality back into this nation. Because that's where the morality comes from, is our voting, our support of people that but don't, and kick their asses out when they don't. It's politics and religion. Let's begin to talk about it. And fervently, we're not going to solve the problem.
Not the church gets madder about the president saying shithole than they do babies being aborted. What the hell's wrong with us?
I agree. That's the problem. There is, the church does not want to talk about politics and religion. And it's drowning. It's going to completely annihilate this country if we don't force ourselves to talk about politics and religion. The two got to go hand in hand. We've been suffering through 8 years that has been thrust upon us. It's time we turn it around and start talking about politics instead of immorality.
Hey, Coach.
Malachi 4. Thanks, Matt. I'm moving here. Malachi 4. I want you to see this. Oh, I'm sorry, 4. Everybody loves Malachi. Chad says MACA, Make American Christian Again. That'd be a start, wouldn't it? Make America Christian again. We don't even know what that means. Everybody loves Malachi because Malachi is where all they talk about the tithing. You know what I'm going to do someday? I'm going to crack that dude open for you too. The whole idea of tithing and what Malachi is really talking about. I'm going to do that too. Because see, your pastors have told your brain, here it is, Malachi 10. Here it is. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now wherewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So there you go. That's the tithing verse that they beat you over the head with. If I can tithe my money and God will bless me, what if I tithe my energies and my resources? Will God bless that? I don't even want to get into that, but I'm going to read this to you. I wish I could talk and read at the same time. chapter 4 of Malachi. God's getting ready to leave. Voice of God is going to be shut for, I think it's 300 years. From the end of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, God goes silent for 300 years. He doesn't speak again to the New Testament. I don't know if you guys know that or not. 300 years. I think it's 3. I don't know about you. If you're getting ready to leave, I'm going to go on vacation. My wife and I are going to go on vacation this weekend. When I say my grandkids goodbye, I'm going to say something to them. I want them to remember when I say them. Famous last words, right? Famous last words. I'm in Malachi 4. For behold, the day cometh that you shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. Y'all, do you listen to this? And the day that cometh shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, but it shall leave them neither root nor branch. He's talking about the evil. But until you that fear my name, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. And you, he's talking about us, after the coming of the Lord, if I'm reading this right. And you guys, you shall tread down the wicked. For they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in that day. And I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. He said, I'm going to do this, boys. It's going to be done. And remember you the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. And behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet. Speak of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to their children, and the heart of the children to their fathers. Boys, I'm going to smite this earth with a curse. And when he walks away, the last thing he says is, hey, boys, you better get right with the daddy. If you don't get your heart right with the daddy, you can say earthly daddy, that ain't what he's talking about. No, he's talking about a heavenly father. Jared, real quickly, Luke 1:17. I'm running out of time. Luke 1:17. God finally opens his mouth 300 years later, book of Luke. I want you to find something, see what's going on here. Verse 16. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Watch this. And he shall go before them in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's what the New Testament's about. To prepare a people for a return of the Lord. And we've got it just back. We're going to serve a triumphant returning king. We're serving a king that's going to come back in righteousness. He's going to judge and he's going to make war. And he's going to come and he's going to reinforce everything that we've been teaching. And you look at the scourge of fatherlessness and look at the fact that men don't want to get married. They don't want to father their children. And women are whoring around. And there's no righteousness. There's no family institution anymore. And it's all being done as the church plays freaking tiddlywinks oblivious to it. Saying that the government, we have no business in the government. You can't legislate morality when all the devil's done is legislate immorality. So I want you to know that my $1 million gift and my 10-cent plan is going to be emerging. And I'm going to be calling and appealing on some of you. Some of you right now, your heart's beating fast because you say, oh, man, coach, I can help you here and I can help you here. I can help you here. And I just haven't wanted to say anything about it, coach, because it's, you know, it's your ministry and it's your show. But, oh, coach, if you would just do this. Some of you out there, you have the assembling of that gift that we need to put together to make it happen. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm like the Blue Brothers, baby. Blues Brothers. I'm on a mission from God to make it happen.
Hey, coach.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. not enough righteous anger, too much passivity.
Well, you know what it is, Jeffy? There's a lot of righteous anger in me. But I think it's time to spread it to somebody else.
Come on.
That's what I think. I think it's time for me to make somebody else a little bit uncomfortable. I'm tired of sitting in my chair, walking back and forth. I'm going to go out and agitate a few more people. And I'm going to tell you this, by the millions, they're out there on our side. We got to wait now. You'll hear more about it. Oh, I got to go take a blood pressure pill. Just kidding. Just kidding. God bless you, man. We'll see you all tomorrow. Thanks for hanging in there with me. Hey, don't forget the show this afternoon. Bradley Dean, Sons of Liberty.